Sci-Fi Party Line. Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line podcast. This is your hostess, Kat, and today I have with me Carl.
What's happening, Kat?
Hey, hey. And I also have with me today, Eric.
Hello.
Ooh, look at that. I think he's engaged, Carl.
Spry, downright spry.
I know. It's exciting. And today we're going to talk about the amazing Spider-Man recent movie. Oh, look at that. Got some serious excitement going on. Flick came out, what was it, July 3rd, as you heard on some of our previous podcasts. I was not looking forward to this thing. I was itching and moaning and blah, blah. So I saw it in 3D. And I thought it was pretty okay. And that's my review of the Amazing Spider-Man scene.
Good night, everyone. Yeah. Thank you.
That's our show. That's our show.
All right.
Yeah. So I thought it was great for an action rom-com. And he's not my he's like really not my favorite, and I'm straining to say anything interesting about this at all. I thought it was cute. You know, it's a good high school story. Before I bore our listeners, let's let Eric take the first round because he's really excited about this, and I want to know why.
Well, I don't know. You kind of touched on some of the things I felt, except just less enthusiastically. But I knew I was gonna like it. Oh no, I knew it was gonna be decent or good. But I didn't know how good or how I was going to respond to it. And it far exceeded my own expectations. It really did. And, to me, it had, like, the truest sense of, or the most realistic sense of heroism and romance that I've seen in a superhero film. Or I've experienced since probably like the original Superman. I'm not saying it's the best superhero movie since Superman or anything like that. I'm just saying in that respect, it just had those certain elements that are not. I'm not saying they're required in every superhero movie, but they're certainly not in every superhero, and usually they're not at all in a lot of them, even a lot of good ones. And so I liked it. I enjoyed it for that, and it made a huge impression on me. I hate to compare it to the originals, but I mean, it kind of has to be done. Because I was just hoping it was gonna be better than the third at the very least.
Oh yeah,
at the very least. But
I will say, it exceeded that.
Yeah, I liked it. Yes, it did. But it exceeded the whole trilogy. Which I didn't think was going to happen, and I wasn't even sure about. I actually watched the first two films after I saw Amazing Spider-Man, revisited to them, and it had been a few years since I'd seen them. And while I liked them a lot when they came out, and I still like them now, I personally don't like them nearly as much, and they're really, just for me, a lot more difficult to watch now, and like with modern eyes. And the Amazing Spider-Man was just so much more to my liking and to my tastes these days.
And if we're doing this podcast in 10 years and a new Spider-Man comes out, I'm thinking you're going to say the same thing.
Depends. But, I mean, I figure we get into later, but there's still certain things that make the newest one a little bit more resistant to aging as compared to the original trilogy. There's a lot of stuff in the original trilogy that dates it to the time that it was made, and less so with the new one, and probably get into that more further in the conversation.
Okay. Well, that's a good break to hear what Carl had to say about this.
Amazing Spider-Man. All right, my biggest issue is how soon the reboot of the Spider-Man series was. you know, I got no problem with them bringing back characters and you know, creating new versions of movies and stuff, as long as there's a reasonable amount of time that has passed. But with this, with Amazing Spider-Man coming so soon after the previous three, I'm thinking, okay, well, if they're going to do this, then I need to see something bigger. Something's got to be bigger, something's got to be newer, something's got to be different about the new Amazing Spider-Man versus the previous three. The first thing is, it felt like, well, all right, without a doubt, there's more action, better effects in The Amazing Spider-Man than the other three. The other interesting thing is it feels like they managed to cram in everything from all three of the previous Spider-Man movies into this one movie. Now, I don't mean, you know, the story or the mythology and all of that. You know, they're a little closer to what's in the comic book and the history. You know, I never got the whole, you know, genetic web slinger thing that they were trying to pull with the last Spider-Man series. That bothered me. Being a gadget guy, you know, come on, growing up with web slingers, you want to see that technology being implemented, not that it's just growing out of the guy's arm. That always kind of bugged me. But the themes that were covered in all three of the original Spider-Man movie, well, I'll say the first two. The themes that were covered in the first two Spider-Man movies about the loss, about love, about responsibility, all of that stuff that I believe was spaced out a little bit better, it got the attention that it deserved when you spread it over two movies. To try to cram that in one movie felt a little bit rushed. So all of the stuff that, you know, made the superhero movie exciting, the action, the effects, all that stuff, far better in The Amazing Spider-Man. I mean, the camera work, good. Gee, it was just amazing. Literally, it was amazing. The Amazing Spider-Man. Very pretty. Very, very beautiful to watch. But a lot of that emotional stuff, a lot of the stuff that really seemed to flesh out and develop the characters in Spider-Man 1 and 2 seemed slighted in The Amazing Spider-Man. So, you know, it just depends on what you're going to the movie for. I still think it felt a little too soon for the reboot. There are a variety of reasons why they did it, and a lot of people have been commenting on that. But I don't know. It is consistent with the modern era trying to bring out big blockbuster, special effects laden, you know, exciting movies. That it excelled at. But all of the stuff that, you know, that I thought was really emotional and was really novel, that they had time to develop in Spider-Man 1 and 2, I think it got slighted in this movie. It just felt like it was just too much stuff happening in it. So there you go. That's my brief.
Okay. Well, I think I can kind of, now that we kind of tease some things out, want to comment on some of the things. I don't feel that it was too much or anything, or it was action packed. The only thing that I disliked about it is that the monster lizard guy just didn't seem on par with Spider-Man. Like, he was a big monster, and then he was a regular guy with a little bit of spider stuff. So I think that the lizard guy should have been kind of scaled back, not as old, kind of on the same, I guess, level as Spider-Man. And so that kind of took me out of it a little bit. I do agree with you about the web-slinging gadget. I never thought that they were gadgets before. I always thought that he had some genetic arm stuff coming out of his wrist, and that's just the way it was. I never knew that it was a gadget, and I kind of enjoyed it as a gadget a little bit more. Also, I like that we got to see him learn his moves, and it looked more like parkour than just some fancy stuff that he's doing, you know, that he learned or he kind of got because he's a Spider-Man, that he actually had to learn it. So that kind of makes him a little bit more Batman-like. And you touched on there were various reasons why they did the reboot. Do you know why? Because I don't know why.
I don't know definitively. I keep hearing different things from random folks. Eric, you got anything?
I mean, I got an idea just from the numerous articles I've read, and but basically, we all know 3 was like a financial success, but a critical failure, and it left like a lot of, you know, bad taste in a lot of people's minds, the audience, producers, etc. Mm-hmm. And I know they had some original idea of continuing that line and making a Spider-Man 4. And I know they came up with some concepts and some ideas, but for whatever reason, you know, I think if Raimi wanted to stay, I'm guessing a lot here, but if Raimi wanted to stay, he didn't want to do what they wanted to do. And if he wasn't going to stay, then did they really need to keep that whole ensemble, you know, intact? And I think in the end, they just, you know what? Because it's still the same executive producer all the way through. And I think they just decided at the top, all right, you know, it's just easier just to start over at this point. Mm-hmm. And
That's part of what I heard. You know, I heard Toby wanted a lot of money. I also heard that Raimi did want to go in a different direction. I also heard that, you know, if by chance Spider-Man were to come into the universe of the Avengers in the movie space, that they wanted someone younger to play Spider-Man to be consistent with the, you know, the expected ages in the timeline. That's something else that I heard. A lot of different things, but still, just like they recast the Hulk for the Avengers movie, I think that maybe at the time it might have made a little bit more sense than to try to reboot the series. But hey, they're making their money. Apparently, it's doing well. But
the Hulk recast was a good idea.
It was great. It was great. I mean, you know, he really was fun as that character, and it was good to see him new as compared to not saying, you know, Norton was not bad, but you know, what we got was a lot better.
I don't know, I'm not a fan of Norton's banner. But it's all right, but I don't hate him, but yeah.
So do you know the direction that Raimi wanted to go in? Like, I'm really curious, because I thought that what I keep hearing from a lot of fans is that this amazing Spider-Man stuck to the, I guess, 60s or 70s Spider-Man, the old school stuff, and people really like that because of it. So in what direction was
that,
Raimi going to go?
I think that's a weird thing, though, what you just said, that the Amazing Spider-Man sticks more with the 60s.
Or just something older than what Toby was doing. So I don't know if it was the 60s or the 70s or the 80s or whatever, but he was doing something that was more...
because it's...
That resonated with the original fans of the comic book. Something like that. So I'm not really being...
precise. I think... So, I mean, we talked about the web shooters for one, and I think that was more in tune with the original makings of the character. And other things too, like you even mentioned... his Batman-ness.
Yeah.
Well, that's a huge thing in the comics. Like, he's got a lot of that. He's constantly tinkering. And like Batman, when Spider-Man faces a foe in the comics that he can't beat the first time around, he goes back and works on something, like some kind of tech, to, like, overcome, like, his new foe.
I never knew that.
Yeah.
You can see that in the movies, though. I mean, even in the modern movies, you see that.
Really? I don't remember. All I remember
is
Toby.
Yeah, but they glossed over it a lot in the in the original movies. But yeah, he does. He always makes new suits, and like I said, just like Batman. And so there's certain things that are more true to the character, I guess. And a lot of people are saying the new Spider-Man is more true to people's idea of Peter Parker. But I thought it was weird because you focused on the 60s, because one of my unwritten
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to throw out a date. That date was random, and it was just not precise.
Well, because one of my unwritten talking points was that everything that I say that it's like in praise of Amazing Spider-Man, everyone keep in mind it's just my own personal opinion, because I can totally see where other people are going to be on the other side of the fence. Like, this is totally a case of different strokes. Because... Different strokes for different folks, because...
I just thought of the TV show, I'm sorry.
What are you talking about? because now that I know more about the comics, because I knew nothing about the Spider-Man comics during the first trilogy, but now I have a much better understanding. It really seems to me that Raimi really tried to encapsulate the Silver Age version of Spider-Man, or the overall tone, when things were a little bit more aw shucks and a little bit more like hokey and good times, like It was still like the pre-hippie age, you know, and things were still more clean-cut and simplistic. And that's really how the Raimi films come off, especially the first two, which is really weird when you get into Venom, because then you take like a modern character and throw him into like the Silver Age, and that just makes everything strange, which, you know,
I didn't like that at all.
Yeah, a lot of people don't, but it's that's just the way I see the originals. And the newest Amazing Spider-Man to me is really much more like the modern comic age version, which I'm totally cool to have both exist and people to take whichever one they want. You know, I like having that option.
You know, I think Andrew Garfield could do a good Venom, because he kind of has a dark edge to him that I like that Toby didn't have. He has a true dark edge. Like when Toby tried to be dark, I just didn't buy it. It just felt uncomfortable to watch and it was awkward. But the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man, he came in with the dark vengeance and, you know, trying to find that one guy with the star on his wrist or something like that. And, you know, he's all attitude and I can buy it. So I'd love to see him do that.
Yeah. We haven't even talked about the casting yet. I absolutely...
Yeah, let's go down the cast.
Andrew Garfield and everybody else, because I'd seen Andrew Garfield in a couple things before this, and while he seemed fine in those things, his other work, he didn't really stand out in anything. Agreed. In any particular way.
Agreed.
But in this one, I was like, this is a totally different guy. I don't know if it's due to the director or what, but... there were little moments, for anyone who's familiar with Matt Smith from Doctor Who, there were little Matt Smith moments that Andrew Garfield channeled.
I agree.
I saw that too. Yeah, I saw that, I absolutely.
Ooh, I was... Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, and some of it was the quirkiness side at times, but other bits were when he got emotional and got what... I love it. I read some independent review where the critic... use the term like his all caps Harry moments for those who are like Potter fans. There's those times where Peter Parker had his little like, leave me alone, you know, these little angsty moments, you know, and like it, but there was a little bit of that Matt Smith, a little bit of that magic where it was just like, I don't know, he totally sold it.
He can rock the skinny pants like
and that's the other thing. He looks like the physical embodiment of the way Spider-Man is usually, his physique, the way he's usually drawn. Andrew Garfield just, bam, he looks like a sketch, like in real life.
I loved his physique. I was like, you know, I do like the big beefy guys, but I just really appreciate his slender form. It did not look feminine or anything like that in the suit. He looked manly, because you know, you put a guy in tights, sometimes it's like, oh god, you know, dear, let's cork this thing and put it away. But you know, it's just like nothing was vulgar, everything just looked right. So I agree with you, Eric. His physique,
it was perfect. I noticed he had like lower back abs and just saying that's anyway. Moving along. Come on, Gwen Stacy versus Mary Jane in the films. I mean,
so yeah. Is it a signature for her character to wear thigh highs?
Oh man, just before seeing the movie, just like a few days before, I was listening to some like national podcast, and they were just, that topic had just come up. It had nothing to do with Spider-Man. But just, they were like, oh man, you know, I really dig that look from the 70s, you know, like the thigh-high boots and the mini skirt and that little valley of flesh in between. And I was like, just thinking about that, like literally 2 or 3 days before the movie came out. And then when I saw that like 75% of her outfits were like that, oh my God, I was a puddle in the theater. Absolutely love that look, and I don't know.
You are such a tacky bastard, man.
I don't know if it's her thing or whatever, but something I was just doing this morning was I was checking out the 1967 Spider-Man cartoon, which, yeah, it's dated, but it's like an HD from like, you know, on Netflix, and it's an interesting little time capsule of a thing. Anyway, I was just watching it today for the first time, and in the first episode when they're obviously, like, you know, in high school, all the girls look like that in the cartoon. It's 1967. They're wearing that high boots mini skirt thing, and I don't know. It's just, let's bring that back.
Yeah, let's not.
What? Let's not?
I don't want
to
wear that shit.
Oh, man. You don't have to wear it, but anyone else is free to, if they like.
And really? Carl likes it. He's just not saying so.
Well, yeah. I didn't know any of the history of Gwen Stacy, so I didn't know if that was authentic to the character or not. I thought it was an interesting, you know, choice for outfits. I thought she looked pretty good in it. It's not my favorite. But it was, I couldn't tell if they were trying to do something with the character. In other words, saying, you know, this is how she looked in the comic books, or that was just their choice for the movie. But, you know, it was nice. It was nice.
I guess it's their choice more than anything, but.
But it was such an unrealistic choice for a person to be in a lab, in a corporate lab, running around in some thigh highs that.
Maybe so, but.
Yeah.
But high school interns in any...
She's not a...
Yeah, she is.
Yeah, she is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she is. High school interns, regardless of where they're interning at, they tend to do that. I mean, dress somewhat
inappropriately. So I'm in school right now, and they don't do that.
Are you in high school?
I am not in high school.
High school interns right
now? And yes, it is. Yes, they are there. And they do not dress like that. And they are women. And they are attractive. They do not dress like the worst they do. The worst they do is flip flops.
There's nothing wrong with flip flops.
Shut up.
Oh my god. Thigh highs are in a whole different order of flip flops.
Yeah, they'd send them home because that's just the tackiest thing, and nobody wants to see that come back except for like you and Carl.
I don't think it's tacky at all. I think it's classy.
Of course, classy. We're going with
Leather boots. What?
Leather boots, but not thigh highs.
Well, she had knee highs too. Either way, all good.
It was just wardrobe. Look, I still think that Amazing Spider-Man is visually more interesting than the other movies. So that I'm not arguing with you on that.
And
costume-wise,
was
whatever.
Was it Franco in one?
What? Who?
Franco?
He's in all of them.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. So then, because I like the green, what is it? What is he?
Green Goblin.
Goblin. I kind of like the Green Goblin.
Well, I'm sure he's coming back, you know, if they continue.
But I don't want him as Franco, but I mean, I'm just saying.
Hell no, like, I don't want him as Franco.
Yeah, Franco. He was full Franco. And,
he was full Franco.
But I'd like to see that because to me, he seems like more on par with Spider-Man as a bad guy because they're both not like.
Well, yeah, you mentioned that earlier too, and I don't like the
monster.
Like, I think, the lizard was, you know, B-list villain as well. But at the same time, I thought it matched Spider-Man at this point because he still was like an underpowered Spider-Man. He's still like the early version who was not, who didn't full has not fully found his like full strength yet, just like early comics Superman as well.
Yeah, but the ending was weird because he's like in the crazy house like Two-Face at the end of Batman and it just irritated me a little.
Wait, what irritated you? Like the teaser or the fact that he was still hanging around?
That he was in an asylum and then he's talking to himself.
He was talking to himself?
Yeah, wasn't he like there was a guy in the shadows and wasn't that guy in his head and he was talking to
I don't think that guy was in his head.
Well, but he's been talking to himself the whole time. Like, he had this really rough voice.
Yes, he did do that. He did have like a...
So it's a little Two-Faced to me and I don't like it.
He did have that talking to himself early in the movie, but I don't think he was talking to himself at the end.
I think he would imagine that whole human form, but I'm not sure because I don't know. I don't know the comic books, but it seemed that way. And because it seemed that way, it kind of... that character, so...
I think it was a real person.
That would be interesting. Maybe it's Thanos. No, I'm sorry. Okay, forget it.
No. I heard other theories, but...
I don't know if I want to know. I don't know. Anyway, I will have to say I was surprised that Martin Sheen was in this, because I didn't know he was going to be Uncle Ben.
Yeah, he was pretty good.
I knew it, but... He turned out better than I thought.
Yeah, there you go. I agree.
Yeah,
I thought Dennis Leary was awesome. I know most people I know thought they wanted more of him, first of all.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah.
But I totally bought him as Emma Stone's biological father. Like, they just totally seem like father and daughter to me.
Yeah, the whole thing when she says, "I have cramps, crazy cramps," and that whole scene, that was so funny.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Shame on you ladies taking advantage of your poor dads. They don't know. They don't know.
Yeah, Carl, I have cramps.
And Sally Field is Aunt May. Sally Field.
I just, you know, I like Aunt May to be a little portly.
Whoa. What?
Because I know, I don't know. It just, because wasn't the one before kind of portly?
Well, most folks are more portly. Compared to Sally Field is the issue she's bringing up.
I don't know.
Here.
She just looks so hot for her grandma.
Wow. Well, you know, what I was thinking while seeing Sally Field portray that part was, God, we've gone so far that Gidget looks this old now. Like, I cannot believe it.
I was having Gidget flashbacks, too.
Yeah,
I know.
It scares me. Like, I was alive when Gidget aired or anything, but it's just how far we've come that Gidget is no longer like a 14-year-old and is now totally bona fide gilf.
Wow.
I shouldn't have used that choice of words exactly. A pensioner.
Okay. Wow.
She was a nun, for God's sake.
How do you follow this?
That was unintentional hyperbole.
That's hilarious. Oh, okay. So.
So we've gone from what was that, lower back muscle to guilt. Now, I'm really concerned. Eric, you're all over the place tonight, man. I'm telling
it's
you.
True.
I don't know
it's true.
Okay. Let me just
form, Sarah. He's in rare form.
See, Thomas Howell was in this thing.
Nothing.
No, I don't remember who C. Thomas Howell is.
He's that guy that plays, he was in Touchwood.
Really? Really, you two? Okay. All right.
Okay.
Well, am I going to have to be the voice of sanity this evening?
That's scary.
That is scary, really.
Okay, so... what I didn't understand is that, so his parents, what, you know, like what happened? They just like disappeared in the middle of the night because they're scientists, and it was suggested that, are they dead or did they just, you know, in hiding to keep Peter safe? Was Peter a genetic blah, blah or anything like that? Because that's what the commercials made me think, that Peter was genetically enhanced and he was destined to come into contact with the spider and blah, blah.
Have you seen a lot of the articles that have been springing since like last night on the Twitter sphere, etc.? Because this is something interesting that I didn't know until I saw and read said articles. And it seems like I guess you're out of something there with your feeling. Your spidey sense is tingling for a reason.
He had spidey sense in the movie too, yay. Okay.
Because apparently it's coming to light that there must have been a lot of cuts from this movie. And a lot of subplots and perhaps one major subplot, I guess. The one you're talking about. Because apparently the way it was originally sold, you know, like there was this like... untold story or secret story. Mm-hmm. And apparently in a lot of the early and more recent trailers and clips released, you see little bits of scenes that are not in the movie that we all saw. And they the bulk of them concern this like little subplot. And no one has this for sure, but the way the articles theorize is that there was some subplot with perhaps Peter's father did something to him, like genetically speaking, somehow altered him or something, or somehow set it up to where he had some of this already in him and that he just needed the spider to be like the catalyst to set it off. And apparently there was this whole subplot of that. and also more with the Indian character.
There was an Indian character?
Yes.
Yeah, Rajat Ratha. The guy who was like Dr. Connor's boss.
Oh, yes, that guy.
Yeah, in the limo. That's his character's name.
Oh, okay, right. Because I know I'd seen him someplace. I've seen him in a bunch of stuff.
His last name is Khan. I'm like,
that guy is everywhere, but okay.
I've never seen him before in my life.
I remember him in Slumdog Millionaire, but... Yep.
Slumdog. Well, maybe I have seen him.
But he's also like really famous in India. Supposedly this movie like broke records in that country just because he was on the cast list, even though his part is not large. And also, like I said, like it seems like half of his storyline was cut because he had more dealings and more things going on after the bridge scene in the original cut, apparently. Because people have got screen caps from, like I said, from trailers that show him like confronting the lizard in his sewer lab and other things. And so basically, I guess, I don't know, they're saying that it didn't play well with executives or someone. And so all this stuff was just cut at the last minute.
The movie was 136 minutes. And, you know, I'm watching it. When I watched it, you know, as I said in the beginning, it felt like there was a lot of stuff. It was like they were cramming a lot of stuff in here. If they've cut out significant parts like that, you know, if it's small salt and pepper things, you know, just for speed, that's one thing. But if we can get maybe a director's cut of this where some of this stuff is fleshed out a little bit more, maybe I'll appreciate it a little bit more as a movie. But still, I still feel that so much stuff felt rushed in this film.
Really?
Yeah. I mean,
just, I felt like...
Go ahead, Eric.
I mean, I feel like some things were rushed too, but things that I wanted to be rushed, meaning, like, I wanted him to be Spider-Man as soon as possible. And, I mean, I was okay with us revisiting the origin, but I also didn't want to dwell on that, you know, too much. And so, you know, like, apparently they have to always mention that, you know, he had this wrestling thing. I love how he just knocked it out in, like, a 2-second scene as he falls in the ring and then let's just be done with it.
I missed it. I totally don't even remember that.
Oh, when he falls through the ceiling into the middle of the ring and he looks up and he sees the, Nacho Libre.
Yeah, but I'm glad we just dispatched that requisite and just moved on. I was glad though, because I'm like, we don't need to go through it again. You know, we already did that. But
how do you choose what things should be sped past? Because, you know, I'm like, we've done all of this before. So how do you know?
It's true. Well, see, I have to admit, me personally, I loved all the schmaltzy stuff. I was totally about the independent independent movie romance that was going on. Those are the parts that I dwelt on the most in the movie. And I don't know. Andrew Garfield said that one of his favorite scene in the movie was cut, which was apparently when him and Gwen went on a date. That was not seen in the movie. But love that to be in the director's cut.
Goodness. Because he was just like so perfectly awkward that I just kind of like that a lot.
I loved it. And not just this wide-eyed, astonished guy like Tobey Maguire. It's just much more believable as like an angsty youth, but not overly angsty, not in a caricaturist way.
He sort of reminds me, what's the guy in Twilight?
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I'm just going to stop talking then.
No, I was a little afraid for the sequel. I love the tease at the end, as far as Gwen and Peter. I love the tease at the end when they're in class. But that whole setup, like, you know, why did Daddy Stacy, Detective Stacy, have to, you know, make that stupid promise?
Because it's going to be like a source of friction in the next movie.
Ooh, yes, of
and
course.
Then we're going to have to go, and then she's going to die. Because that's the only thing I ever knew about this character is that she died.
Well, yes. Okay, jumping ahead. But I was glad that, unlike what usually happens in soap operas and whatnot, at least Gwen knew right away the reason. You know, I like that. And then, like I said, there was a little tease. But then I was afraid, oh, God, don't let this be like the second part of the Twilight series.
Oh, dear.
New Moon, in which Edward's like, I can't be with you because if I'm with you, you know, you're in danger. Same scenario.
And we had look at her sit in a chair for like half of the movie.
Well, that, and then when she realizes, I know, if I just keep putting myself in danger and keep trying to kill myself, then he'll be forced to come back to me. So I had these like weird feelings of like that coming in the sequel, but I'm just gonna
hope that doesn't happen. I just really hate that you made me relove that movie.
Hey,
so, but all I could see when Gwen Stacy, you know, is on the screen is like, dead woman in thigh-high tights walking, you know, because she's just like, when is she going to die? I know she's going to die. When is she going to die? Do we have to watch her die? Is it going to be in the third movie? Is it going to be like tugging on my heartstrings? And so I can't really get comfortable with her or this movie and this series because I know she's going to die unless they do some weird rewrite and then people are going to be pissed. It's going to be Spider-Man 3 all over again.
I think if that goes down, I'm sorry all of you who didn't know that, because I'd rather not know than know myself. But
people who listen to this podcast know,
because it's probably intended to be in a trilogy. I would think that has to go down in the second movie.
And then he's gonna
find Mary Jane.
That and or have revenge, etc., etc.
Oh yeah, well of course with the obligatory revenge, then Mary Jane.
Oh, and then we're going to listen to that voicemail again of Martin Sheen.
Yeah.
It's going to be like Obi-Wan, but...
Great power.
But I'm totally cool. I mean, with it going that dramatic turn, the only thing I don't like about it is that it mirrors the current Batman series a little bit too much. Because, you know, the same thing kind of happens there with his love interest going into the second chapter. That's the only thing I don't like about it, but it's all right. It's all right. I'm glad we didn't have a love triangle for Peter to deal with, because now that I've gone back and watched all three, two and a half of the original Spider-Man films just in recent days, there's a freaking love triangle in every single one of them. Sometimes there's usually two love triangles in each film. It's insane. Go back.
I don't know if I want to.
Mary Jane's like with Flash in the beginning, and then there's Peter, but then Harry steps in, and in the second one, she hooks up with Jameson's son, and then Peter's there, and then in the third one, Gwen Stacy shows up, and then there's Mary Jane, and and then there's like the Russian girl who lives across the hall.
She totally. I wanted to see her again. I wanted to see her back, and I wanted to see her with superpowers. That would have made the next movie for me. I'm sorry.
Let me tell you what I don't want to see ever in this series is the upside down Spider-Man kiss. Ever. I'm done with it. They can't do it ever again because it's maybe in 100 years.
Oh, it was cool. Yeah, but definitely it's a one-time thing. And this one, we had the whole, like, kind of like web lasso or sort of, you know, where he pulled her in. I like that.
He kind of smacked her on the...
Now, what would have been funny is if she'd walked in the house and Dad had seen that on her. Now, that would have been like, what the? What? I thought that was going to happen. That would have been some hilarity right there.
Oh, man.
What are you doing up there?
Yeah, I didn't like that, Dad died.
Nope.
Because then we don't get him in the next movies, and
I really like Larry. Yep, he was a lot of fun in this movie.
Yeah, he was good. I thought he was going to be like the resident Commissioner Gordon.
Exactly.
Yep. And I was like, this is cool. And then I also thought, wow, he just like, here. By the way, I'm Peter Parker. Oh, by the way, I'm Peter Parker. He was just letting everybody in.
He takes his mask off under the spotlight. Attention, people of the citizens of the city. Yeah. Well,
the one time I shook my head was when the lizard picked up his camera in the sewer, and on the back it was like property of Peter Parker.
That lizard.
That was ridiculous. That was mighty, mighty convenient there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That lizard. I don't have any good things to say about it.
And he's apparently using film. What's up with that?
Only you would care and
come
notice.
Come on, man. Get digital, Peter. What's up?
He's being classic, man.
Yeah. And all the real hackers, all the real hacker geeks. If you look at his lab while he's making his web shooters, he uses an Arduino Mini as the control.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I was like, woo! I was the only one in the theater. I'm like, woo! Oh, no. No one's going to know. But
that's funny.
Pretty
I didn't
cool.
notice it, but I know what that is. So
yeah.
That's good. So, I mean, I'm glad I saw it. I'm glad I saw it in 3D because there was some, I mean, it wasn't like beat you over the head 3D as with anything, but there was some cool web outs, I guess, if whatever you're going to call them, out to you where you're like, oh my God, I'm going to get trapped in the web. And I thought that was pretty cool. I thought the end where he did the little, I don't know, was like roller coaster where he shoots himself out of that little...
The slingshot. Slingshot.
That's,
was beautiful. That was beautiful. That. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there was some great 3D. Everybody did see it in 3D or no?
I did, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely, 3D IMAX.
3D I'm IMAX.
I'm totally hooked on IMAX right now.
See.
And
big
yeah. See, nobody told me that one of the... The two IMAX theaters in town. Nobody told me when they went digital IMAX, because they were analog IMAX before, which is fine, except on the IMAX screen, when you have, like, specks of dust,
yes.
Like, instead of being normal-sized specks of dust,
yes.
They're, like, as large as, like a Honda Civic on the screen.
Yeah.
And they're jumping around the screen, like,
oh,
while you're watching.
That's terrible.
That's how it was before. But now they have digital IMAX. Nobody told me, and... when I saw Prometheus, that's the first time I experienced it, and it just knocked me off my socks.
Oh, congratulations.
So now I'm really, really addicted to that format.
Well, the last I checked, Houston had analog, and I saw Star Trek in IMAX 3D. I mean, just IMAX, I'm sorry. And those specks of dust were huge, and it ruined my experience because all I could see was the specks of dust. Nobody else saw specks of dust.
That's how Star Trek was, and I saw it, too, at the IMAX.
Yeah.
Y'all, you old-timers, you
old-timers. So Ithaca doesn't even have IMAX, so.
Yeah, see, okay, here in the D.C. area, you know, we pioneered IMAX. We had IMAX, like, in the 70s at the Air and Space Museum. So I'm used to the giant head, human-sized specks of dust. however, fortunately for us, we also were, you know, pretty early on with the digital versions of all of this stuff. So, I mean, I remember the giant dust. Like watching To Fly at the Air and Space Museum. I remember the giant pieces of dust watching an early Harry Potter film when they converted it or showed it on an IMAX. But since then, all our stuff's been updated. So I miss the dust now, frankly. It was huge. It was impressive. It was kind of like, you know, getting back to Spider-Man. You remember 1970s cartoon Spider-Man, which was only partially animated, you know, and they would just slide the gel across the screen. And, you know, it was just the image of Spider-Man would slide across. But, of course, there was that piece of hair or lint that would move along with him. And they're pulling it over. See, that's what I was used to.
Yeah.
Right?
I think you were
keeping
watching
it real.
The 67 series.
Yeah,
that's exactly what they did. Like for the traffic on the city streets, it was just sliding the gel.
That's right.
Across the screen. Pretty
and
great.
Of course, there was always lint, hair. Something was caught under the gel. It would move right along with the traffic. So to see that IMAX was the IMAX. That was state of the art for me. You know, ooh, the lint has gotten so much more significant now. It is. The lint's moving and not at the same pace as the characters. This is awful.
Well, I'm glad it's gone.
Yeah.
There was also, you want to nitpick, okay, there was also the jitter, you know, on your big IMAX screens that I don't know if it's the film moving in the camera or whatever, but the edge of the edge of the frame would also kind of shift back, would rock while it was going too. So when you get digital, man, it really does away with a whole lot of the legacy artifacts that we used to think about. One that I... Do you guys remember the change reel dot?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
That you know, we never noticed it until somebody pointed it out to us.
Fight Club.
And then all of a sudden you see it everywhere. Well, guess what? Digital, we are no longer change reel dot. We're dot free, jitter free, lint free. I mean, it's the future, people.
God, you are funny.
Eric, you'll be proud of me.
You'll be proud of me. I finally saw the Batman trailer that made me say, oh my God, this is going to be cool. I've been waiting on that trailer. But it was a trailer before Spider-Man, and it just had expanded stuff that made it look, it gave me what I was looking for, the cool factor. that the other trailers just wasn't giving me. They were just doing the little chant, and there were flashes, and they were almost like teasers, and I just couldn't get into it. But this extended trailer that they showed before Spider-Man, I was like, oh yeah, that's why I like those films. Oh, I'm so silly. So I'm there. I'm kind of on board.
Yeah, you poo-pooed me when I said that I was sold when I saw the prologue late last year. And
Yay.
it's like an 8-minute scene, like uncut, as is in the film. And when I
Oh, I
saw
haven't
that,
seen that.
yeah, it's not that easy to find,
Oh.
because you had to see Mission Impossible 4 at the IMAX in order to see the prologue. That was the only way you could see it. And they were all like really tight about. They even told us like we're gonna show a clip from Dark Knight Rises. If we see anybody with a cell phone, we're gonna kick you out, and all this stuff. But it was good. It was really good because as I come to expect and many do now, when you see a Christopher Nolan Batman movie, you expect to see something you haven't seen before. And in that little prologue, they kind of show something you've never seen before. In a movie, and I was like, I'm sold. And it was an IMAX, obviously. I'm sold.
I don't know what I saw exactly, but I know I got comfortable with Catwoman because I kind of understood her a little bit more and what she was going to be, and I was like, "Oh, okay, I get that." And then I'm not really sure what it was exactly that sold me, but all I know is I really thought it looked cool, and I was like, "Okay. All right. I'm not going to bitch and moan about this. I'm past Spider-Man. I'm over it. I've seen it." So we gotta do Batman. And then I'm pumped up for Total Recall. So,
Yeah, Total Recall's looking better to me as time goes by.
okay.
No, I never disliked it, but it's looking better. It's looking more promising to me now, the
I'm going
closer
to
we get.
remain cautiously optimistic about Batman because I love Nolan's stuff, but there was so much noise about what was going on in the background of this Batman movie. So much stuff didn't quite go as expected, and I'm cautiously optimistic, but I'm keeping my reservations up.
Okay, cool. Any other movies we're looking forward to that's coming up?
Not coming up soon. Although when I saw Spider-Man, although I'd already seen it already, the Hobbit trailer, the same one that we've all seen before. This was my first time seeing it on IMAX in 3D, and the 3D was it. Because as we all know, it doesn't work in every movie, but at least for the trailer of The Hobbit, it looked like I was seeing a 60-foot tall like pop-up storybook like come to life. It was pretty insane just to look at. Like the 3D was really well done, at least in the scenes that they show, that they flash on the screen. It just wow, it just came to life. It
So we're gonna
was.
be seeing a bunch of dwarves in this movie, no elves.
You'll see the elves, but they're not primary characters. We see Galadriel in the trailer,
Well, yeah, I like her.
and they have to pass through Rivendell where the elves live and all that, but no, they're not primary
So
characters.
no Legolas is really what I'm asking.
Well, no, actually, I think he might be, actually. Spoiler.
I think you're lying.
No, I'm not.
Oh,
Because
I am.
there is an elf. There are elves that they meet in Mirkwood in the original story. And before this movie ever came out, there's this particular elf character that even though he's not called Legolas, people, like fans of the books, they just kind of thought, oh, that guy just seems like Legolas. That could be a Legolas. And I've heard rumors that they may have made him so, like for this film. So I don't know. Potential spoiler right there. So there's
So
that.
yes, I am debated, and Orlando Bloom will be in the movie. Woo! Sorry.
Okay.
All right. I didn't know you're a big Bloom fan, but yeah.
I just like when he has that little crazy hair and he's doing his little thing, and I appreciate it. I'm still mad they killed out that off that other elf that I like. He was all cranky, and then he went to what's our favorite show together, Carl, the Legend of the Seeker.
Yeah.
Of the Seeker. You don't recognize the
When
guy from.
you say cranky elf, are you talking about the guy who gets killed like in Helm's Deep or
Yeah. What's his name? Craig Parker, Dark and Raw.
Oh,
He's the
yeah.
cranky elf that got
Yeah.
killed in.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I totally forgot about that. Yeah, all right. I got you. I got you. Yeah, yeah, he's fun. And by the way, you know, when I was going back to watch the Lord of the Rings trilogy, I totally forgot that that Peter Bishop is the crazy
Oh,
kid.
yes.
It was just, you know, you
Oh,
see him,
hell to the
you
yes.
know, munching on that was it, the cherry tomato. I was like, it's Walt. I mean, it's Peter. It's Walter Bishop.
Yeah,
Walter.
Walter.
I see
Yeah,
Walter.
that's nice. So I guess I'm, you know, I still got Lord of the Rings fatigue a little bit, and
I don't know how. It's so awesome.
like everybody, like 3 times a year, always trying to invite me to a Renaissance festival. I'm so sick of them. I'm sick of Middle Earth. Oh, well, I'm a broken record right now. Y'all know how I feel about that. But anyway, I'll see it.
I'll see it too. I'll be there.
Yeah, I'll see it.
Oh, hell yeah. What
I'll
are you
see
talking
it.
about?
I won't be excited about it, but I'll see it. And then I'll be like, "Oh my God, I really like this. I don't know what happened and why I didn't want to see it at all." So that's pretty much
Yeah,
gonna
hell
be
yeah, I'm
my,
excited.
'cause that's exactly what I just did for Spider-Man. So yeah.
Yeah.
That's how I roll. So any last thoughts other than movies, guys?
No, I think we're pretty much caught up.
Alrighty, and that's our show, guys. We love your feedback. Go to our website, leave us a comment at scifipartyline.com. We're on Twitter, so tweet us at scifipartyline. We're on Facebook as well and Google Plus. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we will see you at the party next time. Bye.
End of line.